Sires, Divining Rod by Tappan, and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 Mile Training Track completes the full-service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free at horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's dancing behind movie scenes, behind the movie scenes. Sadi Rani, she's the one that keeps the dream alive. From the morning past the evening to the end of the light. Brilliant food, Asher on the 45. Well, it's Brilliant Blue Asher on the 45. Brilliant Blue Asher on the 45. Well, it's the Brilliant Blue Asher on the 45.
We're back at the races, and just a couple of minutes now for the coronation. Our last of the day, Hammer is joining us, and he's got to be excited for Bobby Flay and the Team Flay approach. Pizza Bianca, who of course they celebrated at Breeders' Cup. Hammer, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, what are we, about 3-4 minutes away? I guess I could have been there, but I chose to make a little trip to Denver and Boulder, Colorado instead. So I'm here, but Jimmy just sent me a picture with his top hat and everything else, and all systems are go for Pizza Bianca and the coronation.
Well, and a quick glance again at numbers and prices for those that wanted any of the plays from our group of pundits. Sandrine, the 10. Dick Powell's Push, 14-1. Tenebrism, Vance Hansen, this is the 12, 12-1. And Mangosteen, 7-1. That was Kev's play. The Delzon Philly. And I thought that the two discoveries was worth using and playing with, 17-1. And then from the North American interests, Pizza Bianca is 16-1, the 7, and Spenderella, Graham Motion, William Buick, and Anthony Beck, 7-1 on Spenderella. The favorite, Inspiral, the Shirley Park, Gosden Frankel Philly with Dettori, 6-5 currently.
You know, I haven't followed these races, all of them, but I've looked up a few. This race is loaded. This might be the most contentious race that I've, right?
It is. This is the best. This is the best race of the week.
Okay, all right. Well, then it wasn't just me because I kept going through, going, "Oh my gosh, these are good." But look, we're talking about Pizza Bianca, won the Breeders' Cup, which was, I went back and looked at the PPs and the horses that finished behind her. They've all won. So the race was loaded, 16-1. You know what? They're over there having a ball. And if, like Jimmy would say at this point, don't let this horse win, or, you know, he might be
without you. Yeah. I hear you. It is post time. They're still galloping a few here and there. I only saw for a second, and I haven't expanded the screen yet, but that sure looked like the Gainsway, the brown jacket. Maybe not. That might be somebody else, because I see stripes on the sleeve. But they are at least arriving at the gate, Hammer. Who else from the circle?
I know Jimmy and Tara went, obviously, and I think there was a six pack that went over. So good for them. I know it's Jimmy's first time, and one of these days we'll make it over there. Of all the places to go, I think this might be the one that would be worth a trip for sure. So a little envious, but I'll be with my friends tonight in Boulder. Dead and Company's playing here, and we always try to make the trip. I'm with my buddy Tom here. So I'm actually, I'm on my over 70 tour, it seems like. I just saw Rod Stewart the other night, Paul McCartney, Paul Simon, Bob Dylan. So I'll get Bruce in, and I'll be done with the over 70 tour as far as the music goes, right? It's pretty wild that they're all still touring.
That's funny. I love it. There's Bobby Flay. There's Pizza Bianca there. The very easy to spot orange and yellow checks of Bobby Flay. And they're starting to get set here, I think. We got 1, 2, 3. I can see about 4. Well, there's really nobody in yet. So
they're taking their time.
A little bit of post. Yeah, post drag.
Yeah. So, interestingly enough, they decided to take Jose with them and go on the trip there. A lot of the Americans that go over decide to, use a local rider and for one reason or another. But Jose seems to fit this horse real well since he's taken over, obviously, that super ride in the Breeders' Cup and then a couple of other, rides. So, hey, he's a world-class jockey, as we all know, so... Why not bring him over with you? But like I said, I've heard some of the other angles of why you would use a local rider. We all know what they are, but found it interesting that Jose decided to say, let's go. Well, his brother went, so why not, right?
Well, his brother went and got himself a nice 5-day suspension for his... for his trip over. On that topic, it is notable that Graham Motion with Spenderella, who Jose actually has won twice on, Gaffleone most recently in the Appalachian, but Spenderella gets the services of William Buick, which can take you a long way. It's notable here, I'm just looking at the pricing, Cachet is 5-1, and Mangosteen, who beat her, is 7-1. Mangosteen beat her most recently at Longchamp in the and the Poule de Sai Group 1, and there's, now that is, hold on, what do we got going here? This is Spenderella.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, you mentioned Cache, was 9-2 in the program.
Tightening the girths by the looks of things.
They're tightening. They're just tightening her girth.
So, you want to play that 2 feet who game? You know, Pizza Bianca does definitely fits in this field.
They adjusted the girth. This is second time in a couple of days we've seen this, and Buick gets back aboard. All right, no problems here. 7-1 on Mangosteen. Pizza Bianca 16-1. Sandrine 16-1. Dick Powell's play is floated up. Spenderella 8-1 now, and Tenebrism 12-1. This just shows you, I mean, other than the 6-5 favorite, Inspiral, you know, coming off the, you know, she's undefeated and all, we get it, but it is her seasonal debut in here. I mean, she's giving away a lot of recency to this bunch, so the Frankel filly is going to have to absolutely come out and run her best. We are going the round course mile here, not the straight. There is the turn. So they will come a long way, then make the sweeping turn, the somewhat tight turn, and head home. 1 mile, the Group 1 coronation. And a couple more to load, Hammer.
Very interesting logo in the form on the distance and the formation of this course here. Like you said, they make the sharp right hand turn and head for home.
There we go. Getting set.
For the coronation's sakes, they jump away from the old mile start with Honey Girl among those dropped in the early stages, rolling the dice, and the cheek piece was away fairly well. Cache got a good break as well. So too, Prosperous Voyage out wide, just taking a while to track over as they link up with the round course at the end of a furlong, and it's Cache and the light blue who leads to Spenderella with the hoop sleeves against the running rail, and Prosperous Voyage tracking over to join them and racing handily, and that trio just about spearhead the field, followed through by Discoveries with a white cap racing a close fourth. Then the nosebound in Mongustine against the running rail, followed by Tenebrism, who races in midfield with Grand Dame and Sandrine. Rolling the dice in Orange Jacket is next. Frankie at this stage is holding up in Spiral Red Jacket with a blue cap. Three quarters of the way back, Pizza Bianca in the orange and yellow is racing towards the rear with Honey Girl. They've already gone through halfway and they're heading towards home in the Coronation Stakes. And it's Cache who leads to Prosperous Voyage sitting at our quarters. Spenderella will turn on it in third. Discoveries fourth. The nosebound in Mongustine is next to Tenebrism in the maroon and blue. Sandrine in the nosebound wide off the turn in Spiral is going to have to try and thread her way through from the rear. Frankie driving away. Red Jacket, blue cap. Inside the two. Cache challenged now by Spenderella. The hoop sleeves. Here's Discoveries, and now in Spiral finds daylight. She begins to run on very strongly down the centre under the Tenori drive, and in Spiral has come sweeping through to snatch the lead deep inside the furlong. Redemption day for Frankie. In Spiral, powering clear. In Spiral, inspired, wins the Coronation Stakes, and Frankie salutes the crowd. It's close for second between Spenderella and Discoveries, with Tenebrism right alongside. Cache and Pizza Bianca were next.
First, number 5, In Spiral. Photo finish for second place. First, number 5, and a photo finish for second place.
Well, wow. that explains the 6-5 and the way in which this Frankel filly, Hammer, was just bet off the board. And when produced, just absolutely blew him apart. Chivalry Park, just the monster filly effort here, and she remains undefeated. Wow.
Just like you said, these races, it looks like they're going to be highly competitive on paper. Someone runs off, and boy, she was. And that was that Gosden's first, and And DeTore had a little rough day yesterday, so they put it together in this. And boy, so she's 5 for 5 now and obviously enjoyed her vacation.
5-11, tremendous effort, and they'll be thrilled, I'm sure, at Gainesway and with the Grand Motion team. Buick did everything right and seemed to, you know, sit to that just like she has of late. You know, when you look back to the Appalachian and even in her maiden win when she sat and then, attends paces and takes over. It took what is obviously and what might be the world's best three-year-old filly right now on grass, Inspiral. It took that effort to beat her. She does hold off the one that I like, Discoveries, at a nice price for second, and then third is going to be that Tenebrism. So Vance Hansen's horse is going to end up fourth. 5-11, 2-12, the order of finish, and a very good effort by Spenderella. But this is they'll be talking about Inspiral Hammer in hushed tones.
Yeah, obviously they waited to bring her back in this spot, and she was loaded. I mean, 5 for 5, that's her second Grade One win in a row, coming off the October win in Newmarket. And boy, you're right. I mean, she was in spiral. She was inspirational. Boy, nice to see. Pizza Bianca, if you watched her, she was the anchor for a while, and it looked like Jose had a little problem trying to find a place to run. She did show a little run. I think she finished 7th or 8th. Didn't get beat that far. So they'll learn something, and they'll still be having fun. I know that. So,
she put in a run, Hammer. She put in her run.
Oh, no, no. Absolutely. It just seemed like Jose had a little trouble, you know, because of the traffic in front, looking for a spot to just settle on. You know, he would poke in there about the 6-7 hole, and then have to go in, and then found a little spot on the inside and was making a run at the end. So she's fine. And like I said, the trip will continue. it'll be good. But these races are, you know, for us, well, we get up at 6:30 to start watching them. And, you know, next thing you know, you're sitting on the couch at 10:30 finishing it up because they're so unique to us over here. And to see all these good horses run is fantastic. So it's all good. And anyway, we're here, but something, there was before I left L.A. yesterday, there was a big sigh that I heard, and that big sigh was they took entries for the final card. It's that long, long, long Santa Anita meet comes to an end this weekend, so I know there'll be some players out there welcoming a little bit of Los Al, then on to Del Mar for the California scene. And I wanted to go back with just for a little bit. I know you've been talking about the Belmont all week, but I wanted to congratulate John and Sadler and Costa, the local horsemen that sent out flight lines at a Met Mile. And sure, I mean, that to me was the highlight of the day, watching that race unfold. And he kept they kept California from being blanked in the triple card, so that was kind of cool as well. But flight line and then Clarier's performance, I thought was maybe the passing of the torch from Latrusco over to Clarier. She gutted it out in I thought maybe it was the best race of the day for Clarier. But then Casa Creed won for Lee. Lee was so pumped up before the race, and he said, "We're going to win." It was not a doubt in his mind. So he's all pumped up, and we had a great day. We missed you out there at Belmont, but we had a great day. On site and watching some of the horses we're going to see running in the Breeders' Cup run that day. So it was kind of neat. I wanted to make one point as I know you were talking about last week, and we've been talking about for a lot of the stakes throughout the year, a lot of the smaller fields going. I actually got a phone call from a trainer and say, if they ask you about small stakes, I want you to please mention that Lasix is part of the problem with some of these horses running some of these races running with small fields. And I've questioned numerous trainers just on that, and they agree. So we do have a horse shortage, and we have the new the new rule that's come apart here in the last year and a half or so, where every stake race runs Lasix free. So, but they won. I had some guys like said, please point that out, and so I'm pointing that out. That a lot of the horsemen believe that some of the smaller fields are because of the non-use of Lasix in the stakes. So, there you go.
And that isn't being mentioned as often as it probably should be. So thanks for that.
Right. Yeah, I just wanted to throw it out there. But all is well here. I thought the Belmont Day was done well. You know, Naira put on a good show. It wasn't one of those packed Belmont Days that we've come to know, but it was full. There was, you know, they put, like I said, they put on a good show. The races were run timely and went off well. Of course, we were there to see We the People, and he just didn't like the mile and a half. He got the lead as he should have, got pressed a little bit, but give all the credit in the world to Todd, who seems to have that date in June circled now, right? It's his fourth one, and congratulations to him and Rapoli for running 1-2. And he's got that Derby, skipped the Preakness onto the Belmont down pretty darn good. But all in all, a really good day of racing, and that's what we need more of. And summer's here, and we're starting to see we're gonna have a great Saratoga meet, and I think Del Mar, you're gonna see a lot of visiting barns there this year. I helped them recruit a few barns, and I hate to say it before they get there, so I won't. But there'll be a lot of barns from the Midwest and the East headed out there, so we'll see the Del Mar meet really, really take hold too, and you know, kind of can't wait for it. I've been off for about a month now. I'm starting to shake a little bit. Need to get to a racetrack again soon. Actually checked in here, thinking that maybe Arapahoe Park, which was run outside of Denver, was open, but they don't open for a couple of weeks, so we'll wait and. We're going to cancel that Yellowstone trip if you've seen the flooding up there. So
yeah, crazy.
Yeah, pretty wild. But starting to get out and do the summer tour. So we'll miss the hassle this year, but we'll obviously be at Saratoga a few times and be able to hook up. And you know, looking forward to that.
Hammer, I appreciate it, we will check in. Last visit of the first half of the broadcast year. We'll talk next week ahead of vacation. I appreciate you being on for Pizza Bianca's try. A good try.
Yeah, that's great. And I know, you know, hopefully your vacation, you'll come back as good as Inspiral did, and all will be well.
I don't know if I can do that. You should see the way in which this is being met. I mean, just a freaky return effort. And so Gosden and Dettori, Gosden particularly, who had been 0 for the stand. He gets off the duck, and I can't say it didn't live up to the anticipation, but was kind of hoping for, you know, for a more contentious finish. But sometimes, as we saw at Belmont last week, sometimes the, you know, resounding triumph by a star, that's just the way the way you're going to have to accept what we witness. So huge effort. All right, we're going to get. We're going to get Nick Tamaro in. We'll do some more handicapping before we wrap. And for those that are looking ahead, after this now, the Sandringham, one of the handicap races with a giant field, 29 horses. I don't think anybody. That was one scratch, 28 horses upcoming in the next. So that'll test your mettle. And while we wait for Nick here, let me tell you, this will maybe be the last chance we'll have. Kev was interested in the 15 Gate Crasher Girl, but like he told you, he didn't necessarily have a strong opinion in here. But the 15 Gate Crasher Girl, who should be in the 20-1 range, and the 19 is his other each way play, Discretion. So the 15 and the 19 in the Sandringham, coming up later in the King Edward Lysander the IV with a decent top pick type win bet. And then the three Grand Alliance is the each way value touch. And in the Holyrood House, the ninth or seventh, he likes the nine Ladies Church. He seemed to like Ladies Church very much. He went out of his way to feature Ladies Church in his mentions earlier this morning. So look for the nine Ladies Church, 6-1. And then he's got the 13 and the 15 as, you know, a couple of little each way punches in the 30-1 range. All right. So that's Kev for the rest of the morning / afternoon at Royal Ascot. And we're looking forward to when Nick Tamaro goes over, and that'll be a visage, Nick. You in the morning coat and the hat.
Yeah, I mean, you know me, Steve. I'm a pretty pleasant, like, positive guy. I don't get asked it at all. Like, I enjoy that everybody follows it for a week and we act like we all care about English racing, but I don't, you know. I guess I'm kind of a xenophobe in that sense. I like American racing. I like stakes races here. It seems like it'd be a lot of fun, but, yeah, I'd go to Hong Kong before I'd go to Ascot. But, you know, you never know. I could end up making it to both.
Well, and that, you know, that's one of those things that people have, you know, based on the way in which their interests in the game, you know, are generated. For instance, if I had to prioritize those kinds of stands, the first thing that I'd want to see is the Melbourne Cup. That's always been the top of my list.
Yep, totally agree. Melbourne Cup for sure. I'd probably go to the ARC first, just because of the, you know, the quality of the day and the race itself. But yeah, I mean, I have nothing against it. It's kind of amazing to me, though, that it has become like so cachet. I mean, it has become such a, you know, kind of a big deal in America, and I guess it's because Wesley Ward went over and won a few races. I was busy. I understand that that Spenderella ran relatively well.
Oh, she ran great. She ran absolutely great. It took a what is obviously a freaky Chivalry Park homebred, the Frankel filly Inspiral, who they bet. Let me tell you, if Andy was doing the broadcast with Nick Luck, Andy would be saying they knew, and boy, they were right. I mean, I was surprised that she was even money in a field this contentious, and then she won specifically. I mean, if you based it on the odds, she won exactly by the amount she was bet.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll tell you, Spenderella is a very good filly. I kind of felt that way after she won her second start at Gulfstream. There was a really contentious pace that day, and she stayed on very nicely to win the race. I know she was undoubtedly facing considerably better today than she has thus far, but she definitely looks like one with a lot of talent and probably smart on Graham Motion's part to ride William Buick. Has Pizza Bianca finished?
No, she was kind of mired, and then once Jose found room, she came up. I think she ended up splitting the field. I think she probably ended up sixth or seventh.
Yeah.
No, and frankly, if she had been produced a little bit earlier, she might have even been, you know, another. She might have been like fifth. But the top four were. I mean, Inspiral was clear of everybody, and then Spenderella and Discoveries were in a photo. I think there was Tenebrism and maybe one more. So I think she did about as good as she was going to do.
Yeah, that sounds it. I mean, splitting the field was probably a good result there for her. And look, I mean, it's an opportunity for people to run horses in places they generally wouldn't. I know that a lot of the partnerships are looking for those kind of chances, and Bobby Flay obviously felt strongly about trying to get another one back over there. It didn't work well with More Than Real, but, you know, hopefully Pizza Bianca can come back and get to some of the local staples that she fits in very well.
Well, we've got three more. I gave everybody while Casey was raising you. I laid out the last three of the day, and then everybody tomorrow. I'll put up Kev's plays, and we'll also recap as well the Vance Hansen choices on the Saturday card, Platinum Jubilee Day, at Royal Ascot, closing day as well. Nick, it's also going to be, I was kidding early in the show, I know you had a busy morning, but you've got the wind down of the quarter horse season, and frankly, it's gone by really quick.
It has gone by very fast. Yeah, the whole season of live racing ends at Sam Houston on Saturday night. We've got six stakes races of the quarter horse variety. So good opportunity to finally get out for the meet if you need to, or at least try. And it's a good card, good slate of races. We've got an 870 in there and a couple of the rest of the races, obviously, on the straightaway. So, yeah, it's kind of fun. A little bit bittersweet knowing that there'll be no more Sam Houston until January, but it's been a really fun season and obviously very personally rewarding for me.
Well, and the public that at this point, you know, now they're so accustomed. I mean, the sounds like you've been calling these races for years, and it's been really fun to follow the Sam Houston action. I don't know. I mean, we won't even speculate as to the situation in Texas with HISA and the Racing Commission, and I don't even know what to call it, the standoff or the loggerheads, and how it might long term, when we get around to the next year, what it bodes. I mean, it'd be tragic, frankly, if we weren't able to be betting on Lone Star and Sam Houston. I mean, as it stands right now, July 1st would be the suspension of out-of-state wagering on Lone Star.
Yeah, that's how it stands right now. I don't have any particularly great insight. I would be very surprised if we're not running in January and the signal is not available across the country, because quite honestly, our business is not sustainable without it. So I would imagine that that the right things will take place between now and then. But, you know, this underscores the nature of how tumultuous the next 6 months in the thoroughbred racing industry in this country are going to be. And I think anybody who thinks that this is going to be some easy and peaceful and seamless transition into the HISA era of monitoring thoroughbred racing is not terribly familiar with how it's all laid out right now. So my hope is that the people in positions of authority make the right decisions and continue to at least allow places that have a product that's flourishing like ours to do business in a positive and productive way.
No, very well put, Nick Tamaro, everybody. Nick, let's take a look at, before we do this, how'd you end up? I forgot to even ask. I know Tony Joe ended up winning the Belmont Betting Challenge. How did your Friday, Saturday go in the contest?
Yeah, my Friday was fine. I basically was a little ahead of even. No great scores by any means. I had the exact in the Belmont Gold Cup a bit, which was good. And then Saturday, really liked Uncle Moonlight early. Had a couple hundred to win. Had to try a few times. And so I got up to, I think, about 6,500. And then it was just kind of a slow burn. You know, my opinions were not particularly great, and the results were not what I needed. I hooked up Tribhuvan with the wrong horses in the Manhattan and ended up with without, you know, really much of an opportunity. I also, and I kind of realized when the field was in the paddock, my opinion on Modonegal was bad. And I was looking at it a lot of the wrong ways. And when the Brooklyn unfolded the way it did, I kind of realized you're looking at this the wrong way. And I guess what I mean by that is a mile and a half on the dirt is just such a galloper's race. And the reason why Todd Pletcher has done so well in it is because he has a stable full of gallopers. And Mo Donegal was kind of the quintessential galloper in that field. And, you know, he was the type that was always just going to sort of grind them down as the race got longer. So I liked We the People, and I bet We the People, and it was not something that I really am going to remember terribly fondly, because he's a horse that I would generally bet against pretty much every other time. So big props to Tony, who's a phenomenal contest player, great guy as well. He knocked on the door quite a bit in some of these contests. Glad to see him finally break through. And you knew that Tony was going to be dangerous if he had some money, because Tony is a value player and is somebody that uses his wagering model to determine what directions he goes. And so a horse like Mo Donegal at $7 and change, if Tony liked that horse, he was going to smash him, and he did.
Celebrated far and wide, too, actually. People really happy, and Tony, a fascinating guy, and actually got to get him on. Haven't talked to him in too long. So Tony Joe, one of those names that is feared on leaderboards. Although for those that are paying attention to horse tourney stuff, Doczilla, Anthony Treza, he's like a bully. He's just. Every single day, he doesn't even care anymore what contest he's playing. Have you seen this for the last like month?
I see what's on Twitter a lot. I mean, those guys that play those contests over there are so good, and I mean, there's it seems like they have every 15-1 shot, they have every 12-1 shot, you know, and I feel like I just am totally outgunned. Playing in those, and so yeah, Anthony Treza, and I mean a lot of these guys, Mike Somich, they just win relentlessly.
Yeah, it's great, and it's fun because it gets celebrated and distributed, and you know, Nick, one thing we should revisit, and it's not a question of of gloating about successes, but we tried to tell people. Last Thursday, that just because there were 5 and 6 horse stake fields and overwhelming favorites, it didn't mean there weren't opportunities. I mean, I played a $5 pick five, which is unusual for me, and hit that, and it helped make the weekend. Caught that $3 pick three, which paid $600. Which if you had Tribhuvan, the thing was an absolute. Slam dunk. I mean, there were opportunities, and I heard from a lot of people who just said they kept their head down and they focused in. They took Jack Christopher. They took Flightline. They sweated out Clairier, which we kind of agreed on. If you laid it out and put it together right and leveraged with any. Even modest success, you made money last weekend.
Yeah, I agree. I hit the $3 pick three as well, which, I mean, was very, very simple. I basically singled Regal Glory. I used the three horses that I liked in the Jiper, which were Casa Creed and the Gregorian Chant and Gear Jockey. And then I basically used all in two different tiers in the Manhattan, and I had $12 tickets to the three horses that I liked best, which were Channel Maker, and Gufo and Adamo, and then I had $6 to a few others. So it was actually a pretty simple thing to play, and yeah, I mean there were big opportunities. I mean, this Steve, the chorus of people going on and on about the field size. It was like so tired by Wednesday. It was like stop, you know, these races had short fields, but they were short fields with all the best horses. So I mean, you know, I even tweeted on Wednesday and said. So the FIPS really needed a 6th and 7th horse that was overmatched. If you want races with 5 horses that are competitive and 3 that aren't, then bet Gulfstream, right? I mean, that's what Gulfstream does in their stakes races. I don't blame them. They want more horses in the field, but that doesn't make those races better. It just adds to the field size. And Clairier was 9-2, and one of the things I said to you, and I said pretty much everywhere where somebody asked me about it, was the winner of that race was likely going to go off the best price they will the rest of the year. And Clairier is not going to be 9-2 again. At all. So, you know, that was the opportunity. That was what you had to kind of give yourself the chance of doing. And the same thing would have been true probably of Malathot if she had won. So, yeah, the opportunities were endless. You know, I hooked up a lot of them the wrong way, but still had a great time both on the weekend and with the races themselves. I mean, it was a lot of fun. And seeing that kind of star power, you know, seeing a horse like Flightline was great. I mean, Flightline took Speaker's Corner and broke him in half. And Speaker's Corner looked invincible coming into that. So did it matter if there were a few more horses in there? No, he would have beaten them too.
We got about 5 minutes, 6 minutes. Let's look at tomorrow, and Monmouth and Belmont hook up for the cross-country pick five, the Belmont 7th, the Monmouth 11th, the Belmont 9th, the Monmouth 13th, and 14th. Take it away, Nick.
I'll tell you, I've been paying a lot more attention to Monmouth this year, and I've enjoyed it. It's the racing's actually very approachable. This is a fun card, but we can go in order and do the two Belmont races first. The good thing about this sequence is that the first leg and the last leg are going to offer pretty short-priced singles. And if the person that texted you has a single, too, you can let them weigh in. I'm kidding. Credit Event's going to be a big favorite in the first leg. He drew well on the inside. This horse had a nightmare trip last time out. He had no place to go. It was one of those where Tyler Gaffione essentially put his chips all in that he was going to get a trip through on the inside. He never did, so he went from hero to goat in the blink of an eye. With a cleaner trip, this horse is going to be exceptionally tough to beat. There should be enough pace to set the table with Carpe's Dream and Analogy signed up. Dripping Gold is a horse that was an impressive debut winner, now comes back off a long layoff in search of getting some of that glory back, gets Lasix for the first time off the bench. He'd be more of a backup for Shug for me. I'll tell you, Steve, the ninth race tomorrow at Belmont, I'm very excited to bet on Cotton, number four in the ninth race. This horse has had two absolute nightmare trips in a row, and this is the definition of why you watch replays and you don't look at running lines. The idea that the comment on this horse is chased inside improved when he got shuffled out and steadied on the far turn is laughable. But he had a nightmare trip that day. I think 7/8 might be perfect for him. It's a huge jockey change to Dylan Davis. There's plenty of speed in here. This is a horse who I would use very prominently. I'd probably also throw in Mr. Kringle, who figures to get the benefit of the pace set up. And I'd be willing to pretty much ride with those two. The three Monmouth races, the Eatontown is a really fun race, and it's actually very wide open on paper. Speaking of horses who had subpar trips last time out, Paco Lopez gets a shot at redemption on Vigilante's Way, who got into a lot of traffic and ended up not really being able to produce or run at exactly the right time. I think she's pretty interesting coming back. Doesn't quite class up with the best in here, even though she did win the Eatontown last year, this same race. The other horses to use are obvious. Princess Grace comes back off the Matriarch layoff. She was a 3-2 favorite in the Matriarch after getting beaten in the Goldakova. She's got the tactical speed to stay close and really should get that ideal off-the-pace trip that she did last year when she was victorious in the Yellow Ribbon. The 13th race at Monmouth is the Monmouth at 1 1/8 on the turf. Public Sector reportedly is going to the poker and will not participate here, but that doesn't really take anything away from this race. It's still a lot of fun. You've got horses that really deserve a look, like TD Dance and Ever Dangerous, to go along with Sacred Life. I'm also going to find a way to include Hidden Stash on the outside for Vicky Oliver, who shipped Kentucky Ghost in and won a stake race earlier at this meet, so I think he's worthy of some consideration, too. And then that takes you to the Salvatore Mile, where Hot Rod Charlie makes his return to the races after a trip over to Dubai for the winter, and he looks to lay over the field. He should win that race. There shouldn't be really much in his way in terms of getting a forwardly placed trip and taking him the distance. He's a horse who I believe is at his best when he's on the front, and I think he'll end up getting there with Mike Smith. So good to see him back, and obviously pointed towards some bigger summertime engagement.
Do you want to throw a ticket together? We got a minute and a half or so.
Yeah, I mean, on the main ticket, I would use Credit Event with Vigilante's Way, Princess Grace, and the two Chads, Lamista and Fluffy Socks on the outside. I'd use Cotton and Mr. Kringle in the third leg, fourth leg in the Monmouth. I'd be as deep as possible, probably every bit of the horses I laid out, which I could get the numbers. But and then I'd close it out singling Hot Rod Charlie. I'd use Mind Control as a B. I do think Mind Control has been compromised in both of his prior starts in 2022, and obviously is a horse who can be effective at a mile. You know, it's a matter of meeting up where a horse that probably wants to go a little bit shorter meets up with a horse that probably wants to go a little bit longer. I would be on the 1, 4, 5, 6, 11 in the Monmouth. So basically, you know, an all-A ticket that goes 1 by 4... by 2, by 6, by 1. $48 for a dollar.
There you go. That's a value, and you can if people have ideas about a value horse or two. For instance, Scully thought that Safe Conduct might be able to steal away in the Monmouth potentially. So if you want to put backup tickets together, that's an option as well. And Nick, two more Sharpie times for you and Trey Stiles.
One more Sharpie time for me tonight. Trey's going to be joined by Martha tomorrow, and I'm going to take the Sharpie time portion of the night off, which I take advantage of whenever both of them are going to be there.
There you go. Why not? Trey's been kind of in and out, too. But so tonight, for those of you that aren't going to see it again until next winter, chance to take in Sharpie Time, S-H-R-P, and NTAM 1215, as well as renowned clubhouse lawyer Trey Stiles. Ride that pony. Nick, I appreciate it. We'll close out the first half of the broadcast year next Friday.
Sounds great, Steve. Looking forward to it. Good luck this weekend.
Nick Tamaro, everybody. Always tremendous. So you're set. And gave you a little bit of everything, I think. We didn't talk Santa Anita, but they do have the Santa Maria tomorrow. And they've also got a pair of those Fasig Tipton stake races for two-year-olds, Futurity and a debutante as well. Looking ahead, by the way, because I got all the way down to the bottom of my paperwork. Next Wednesday at Canterbury, Northern Stars Day and evening with the Mystic Derby and the Mystic Mile and the Lady Canterbury and all that comes with it. So we'll look forward to that next week. A couple of minutes away here from the top of the hour, and the Sandringham, they're getting ready for it. And you get ready for a great weekend. Back with you to Monday and send you out for a great weekend, everybody. Got just one more week before we get to that mid-season break. All right. Good luck the rest of the way today. Carry over in New York, and we'll talk to you Monday. Thanks, everybody.
The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire.